in today's, I know about this though, that many young people are into chains. They like to wear gold chains and silver chains and this type of thing. But in my culture, in my time, when I think about chains, I think about people who are in bondage and that they are not free, that they need liberation and want that, but may not know how to receive that. And I'm here before you this morning to say that somewhere in the link that is holding anybody here bondage, there is the blood of Jesus. And that he can break any chain. He can break anything that may hold us or bind us. It could even be something that is not tangible. It could be fear, anxiety, that our Lord has the power and the strength. And so that's what I want to preach about this morning. I want to talk about chains. And I want to specifically talk about breaking the chain. I don't know what chain that you may have. You have to admit that for yourself. I have my own chains. But I do want to talk about a term that maybe some of you are not familiar with, and it's not in the Bible. So if you want to know where I get it from, I'll let you know that. And that is soul ties. Soul ties. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, but what it simply means is this, is that the word soul ties is not either good or bad, but can be either good or bad. Or an illustration. I have a wife of 53 years, and I know you've heard me say that many times before, and I'm not bragging on it, but that's my soulmate. Can I get a witness? That's my soulmate. And what I mean by that is that I believe that God led me to that young lady, and that she was meant for me and I was meant for her, and that we have a bond that is beyond the physical. It is physical, but it's even beyond that. It's emotional and it's spiritual. And it's as long as we're here on this earth. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm saying? But I am not preaching about the good bonds this morning. I am preaching about unhealthy bonds. That oftentimes we can find ourselves in relationships with especially other people, that in that relationship, number one, it's out of alignment. It's out of alignment with the Word of God. It's out of alignment with God's thinking. And until that is brought back in line, the soul tie becomes a bondage chain for us, a bondage control. And it doesn't have to be a person, but usually it is. So we're going to be looking at Genesis, the 21st chapter, the 18th through the 14th verses. And I want to say just another quick word about soul ties. And that is that out of all, and it is when we talk about unhealthy relationships, that soul ties can be one of the hardest to break. In other words, there are many sins that all of us mentioned in here we've been tied to or part of or did, from lying to stealing, and you name it. This might be the hardest to break. Can I get a witness? It may be the hardest to break because it's deeper than the surface. It hits again at the very spirit of a person, not the Holy Spirit, but especially the flesh spirit, and that one has to do something with it. our backdrop, Genesis 21:8-9, it's about Abraham, his wife Sarah, her bondservant Hagar, and their son, Abraham, and the bondservant's son named Ishmael. It says that the child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. Isaac is the child of the promise. Isaac is the child that God had told Abraham and Sarah, this is how I'm going to bless you. This is how you are going to see fruit in your life from aligning yourself with my will. They decide, first through Sarah, that this can't happen. Have you ever been there before where God made a promise to you? Or you felt that God made a promise to you, but he was taking too long? And so what happened was you decided to manipulate it. Notice that the word manipulate is manipulating something. Man taking a situation and trying to work a strategy out of it so that it comes out the way that God says it's supposed to come out. The only problem is that God never said to get involved with it, that I was going to be the one that was going to do it. So they finally do have this son, and his name is Ishmael. In verse 9 it says, but Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. It is not the first time that Hagar would be kind of showing out, so to speak. What I mean by that, from the very beginning, you have to go back in the earlier chapters to get the full story here, but even when she was pregnant, she began to act differently. She is a slave. She is an African slave. And so therefore, it is an interracial situation. So which there's no problem with that. But the son of that relationship is obviously going to be seen as not being an Israelite. And so problems come from that. And Hagar, the Egyptian, she, in a sense, teaches her son how to mock, because he's going to be mocking in not too long, too. All right, so what are the five principles here in how to break the chain of a soul tie? Remember, soul tie is when I feel I have a spiritual connection. I have a connection with someone or something. It could even be that I put in the place of God, which another term for that would be idolatry. It's a man and woman, and it's adultery. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. So you can see the tension here between the wife who now has a child and what happened some years ago, because this is a preteen child now in Ishmael. All right, what are the principles? The first thing is, distress is a sign you're possibly in a soul tie. Distress is a sign. I'm not saying it's the only sign. And I'm not saying that if you are distressed that you're in a soul tie all the time. But I'm just simply saying that if you are in a relationship and it's not according to alignment with God, there is no way you're going to experience joy in that. There is no way that you're going to be happy in that. And I don't care how it starts off. I don't care how it begins. I don't care what joy came from the beginning of it. You know, it's sort of like drugs. Drugs always do what? They always start off feeling good, but in the end, it'll drag you down every time. Our scripture says, the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. Well, I'm going to show you in just a moment. It was more than his son. But if we deal with the text and its statement right here, he's got a connection with this young man. He probably, again, doesn't look like him exactly because it is interracial. I'm sure that boy is having all kinds of issues in the synagogue because he is an Egyptian. And they're from different cultures, so he's concerned about him, and he should have a tie with him because that's his son. But it did not come in accordance with alignment with the Word of God. Am I making sense to you? That when you step out of alignment with God's thinking is, and I'm saying this for anybody, when you step out of alignment with God's will is, there is only one consequence, and that is distress. It may look like it's going to be joyful. It may look like it's going to bring happiness. It may look like it's going to bring all kinds of satisfaction, but it never does. I said this the other week. I've never seen anybody ever say who was taking cocaine, "Oh, I got to be the president of a country, and guess what? I'm taking, well, I don't know. I've been taking coke all my life." You know, it doesn't work like that. When we are out of the will of God, we experience what? Distress. And that's not bad, because distress is a sign, hey, you got to check this out. Distress is a sign, I need to give some attention to this. Distress is a sign that you're not quite healed yet. For a long time, I have come up and I've preached on stools and on walkers and on canes because my body was telling me after surgery, you're in distress and you've got to take care of this. Yes, you have some other responsibilities, but the distress says you've got to compensate. And so the stool became my compensation piece. Am I making sense to you? I'm just saying to you that God gives us distress. God gives us the ability to experience distress and anxiety so that we will what? So that we will look at what His way is and make a choice on what is best. I don't want to be anxious all my life. I certainly don't want to be serving God and being in distress all the time. Well, the way out of the distress is to get wholeness and to get healing and to get in line with God's word. Am I making sense? All right. That's number one. Number two, admit your part in the soul tie. Admit your part in the soul tie. Now remember, it just said what in the verse a little bit higher? It said he was distressed because of his son. In other words, out of this relationship, and I just want to reiterate, how did he get the relationship? They weren't able to have a child. And Sarah and him were both past childbearing age. And what Sarah did was she came to her husband Abraham and said, "You know what? Why don't we do it this way?" And he said, "You know what? That sounds like a great idea. Let's go. Let's do that." And this was, and you know, it was according to the culture of the day. There was nothing wrong with it because everything generally passed down through the eldest son. Well, they couldn't have children. And so giving the bondservant was not illegal. It would not have been considered adultery. There's only one problem, and that is God said. God said, I'm going to bless you with a child. God said, this is the way. Let me tell you, when God says it, it trumps everything else. Admit your part in the soul tie. But God said to him, do not be distressed about the boy and and your slave woman. She was originally Sarah's slave woman, but she's yours now. You have to remember, they've had a relationship for like the last 12 years. This is a preteen boy now. And so he's been sleeping with her. She's been living in the house. They've been having he's been telling her all his secrets. You know, Sarah can't have a child. And we've got this boy now. And boy, I tell you what, God's going to give us a life. And I'm sure old Hagar is saying, you know what? I'm going to have a life. I'm going to be the first lady of the Abraham Baptist Church. Yeah. I'm going to be able to move right in as Sarah moves out. And God says you're distressed, not just because of the boy, but you're distressed because you've got a soul tie. You are connected to the bond woman. That is not to say because she's the bond woman, she is a bad woman or that she is an evil woman. Didn't have anything to do with that. But that she has been caught up and he has been caught up in a soul tie that cannot lead anywhere but to destruction unless something changes. Can I get a witness? I mean, we can put it any way we want to. We can come up with any kind of excuse. You know, I've got a bad marriage and my situation, my wife can't have a child, and so I'm going to go and do it. You can come up with any excuse you want to, but when you get out of God's will, it never turns out well. Not only does it not turn out well for you, but doesn't turn out well for people around you either. Number three, search what the scripture says about the soul tie. Search what the scriptures say about the soul tie, your particular soul tie. What does the word of God say about having relationships? I'm not involved physically with it, though Abraham is very much involved. Even for many of us, that can be our excuse. I'm not involved physically. Jesus says that if you even think it, do y'all hear me? But if you even think it, you have sinned. Search what the scripture says. Blackaby, who was a famous author, and I know some of you have read his work on experiencing God, the fourth of his seven reality is that God will speak to you. God will speak to you. And the fifth reality is that when God speaks to you, you're going to have to make some adjustments. Y'all don't hear me. You can't go on like life was. That when God speaks to you, when God says to you, that's not in line with where I'm going. That's not in line with what I had in plan. I either have to adjust to him, or I have to expect I'm going to live a distressed life. But God said to him, who said it? But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen, I know that what Sarah told you before was not my will. But I want you to know something. A lot of times, I speak to a spouse. There are a lot of times that Cheryl has saved me from a lot of bad situations. And she's got a way of seeing stuff. And she'll say it in a minute. Baby, watch out for so-and-so. You know, especially if they're always in your face and so forth. Don't get too close to that. That's gonna be a problem. And you know what? I thank God for a wife that is not intimidated by being straight with me, because I don't want no problems. I want to be in God's will. I want to be aligned with where God wants me to go, and I want to be used by God. He says, listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. You know, it's another thing to not know. But I do believe that when we are out of the will of God, our ignorance does not change the consequences. If you're taking a bath, you know, the old radios, you plugged in the wall, now you don't hardly see them anymore. But people used to do that, take a bath and have the radio plugged in the wall right there. If that radio starts falling in the water, you should probably start to kiss yourself goodbye, because you've just broken a physical law. Electricity and water does not mix. When we know the Word of God, y'all hear me? When we know the Word of God, we have no excuse. We can be belligerent. We can be resistant. We can say, God, I'm going to follow you in this, or God, I'm going to follow you in that, but I'm not going to follow you in this. When God says 99 and a half won't do, I need to have 100% of you. My whole relationship is built upon you giving yourself to me, not the other way around. Our relationship is not about you asking me for stuff and asking me to do this and asking me to do that to satisfy you. Our relationship is built upon you trusting me and you obeying what I say. He says, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, you want to get this right. How many want to get your life right? Hey, look, I'm preaching everybody this morning, because anybody can be in a soul tie. And I have a feeling that all of us have been in a soul tie with something. Something we could not break ourselves away from. Something that we could not give up. Sometimes it's your children. Sometimes it's your adult children especially. Because I am supposed to at some point allow you to become your own person. And when I get in the way of that, what I'm saying is I can do a better job with you as an adult than God can do. God says, I knew before you were even born, you were going to be here. And I'm saying to you, let me handle it. Let me have it. Let me do what I do best. And that is get people lined up with me. And I bet I got some witnesses here this morning. When I line up with Jesus, life goes better. I'm not saying you have more money. I'm not saying that you have more anything. All I'm simply saying is that when I line up with God's thinking, you know what? You can't even think or imagine what God has in store for those who love and obey His word. Thank you, Luke. I appreciate that. Am I preaching? You know, I've oftentimes said to you, you know, I don't just come in and preach evangelistic sermons, though I do believe evangelistic sermons are important, but I believe you preach the whole Bible. Why is that? Because the whole Bible is what speaks to your life right now and where you are. And if you preach the whole Bible, at some point you're going to hit somebody. You're going to hit yourself. Number 4, trust that God will deal righteously with the other party or parties. I'm in a soul tie. I don't know how to get out of it. I can't break away. I mean, I know I can go this way or I can go that way, but spiritually and emotionally, I feel bound. I feel locked in. I feel the chains. And you know what? The person that I'm in my soul tie with, they're not a bad person. They're not an evil person. One thing I've got to understand is, and how many of you in here believe that God loves you? Raise your hand. All right, that's just about everybody. Well, guess what? God loves the worst person the same way he loves you. And God wants you and that person to line up with him. But if you don't let go, if you don't get out, then what's going to happen is you become responsible and they become responsible for behavior and thinking that is not lining up with God. I've just never seen these situations work out. And I've been a pastor for over 50 years, like 55 years now. Isn't that something? 55 years. I've never. And I've seen not only, Nick, now have I not only seen soul ties in church. I'm not talking about outside of church. I'm talking about in church. Where folk develop a bond with somebody that's not their spouse. Where folk establish a bond with somebody, even the pastor. And sometimes it's not even a physical relationship. But we have dreams and thought about a perfect life. Well, people, understand something. There is no perfect life. The best life you have is believing that God can take what he has given me. I don't care how big your garden is. I don't care how green your garden is. But taking what God has given you and working with it. The clap were a little bit late on that one, but I guess it made it through. Amen. Amen. What better thought? I don't want to see anybody harmed. I got into this relationship. I got into this position. I don't want to see this person harmed. And so what do? I just keep on working with it. I just keep on being involved in it. And I'm saying to you, you get deeper and deeper and deeper into the relationship. God says, trust me. I'll not only take care of you because I love you, but I'll take care of the person you're involved with because I love them. I'll make the son of the slave into a nation. Isn't that what he promised Isaac? That's what he promised. I'm going to make a nation out of your loins. I'm going to do the same thing with Ishmael. I'm going to do the same thing with Hagar. She's going to have everything that she wants to have. The problem is, it's not going to be with you. I've got something else for you. And that's all God is saying. Don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to make it out of something that it isn't. But that I want whatever your will is for my life. And God says, I got that. Before you were even born. Before you even were thought of in your mother's womb. I knew you. And I knew what I had for you. He goes on to say in that Psalm 139, I believe it is. He says, every day that was meant for you, I got it written down right here in my book. Every day, I knew your stuff. And I don't plan bad stuff for you. Even when you think it's bad, it is to make you stronger. It is to make you better. It is to make you able to draw the boundaries so that you know when soul ties are happening, even before they come, to say, no, I can't go there. Why? Because I serve a holy God. I serve a pure God. who wants purity out of me. That word purity we learned this morning through Sister Esther is restraint. I'm not going to fall into any scam. I believe that's how a lot of people, especially people my age, get into scams, because they have a need in their life. And you got some rascal over in another country that says, I love you. And I've got all it. Believe it or not, we fall for that, right? Because we've got a need for that. And I'm saying, God says, I will supply all your needs. You don't have to give in to anything. And especially a soul tie with somebody that does not mean you any good. I've got something good for your child. And your child should be taken care of. You and that lady, y'all made that child together. But that wasn't the way that I wanted it to be. Can I get a witness? Last principle. Do what Scripture says about the soul tie. And I'm going to tell you straight up, what does Scripture say about any sin? Repent. That's what he says about any sin. Repent. That's all a soul tie is. When I get out of God's will, when I get out of God's alignment, then that's where sin comes in. And the getting out doesn't start with my behavior. It starts with my thinking. Oh, this is going to be good. Oh, this is going to be great. Oh, this is going to make me so happy. I'll never forget. This is Nick, before First Baptist, one of my way, way former churches. I remember one of the ladies in the church came up to me, and she said, oh, Pastor, I'm in love. And she was a single woman. I said, oh, you're in love? That is so great to hear that. I said, who are you in love with? She says, I'm in love with George. And I thought about that. I said, isn't George Sally's husband? And she said, yes, but I'm in love with him. I said, no, you can't go there. You got to make a boundary. I'm not saying that you can't have feelings for somebody, but I'm saying stop that stinking thinking. Stop it right now. Make a boundary. I cannot go there. Why? Because I respect that other woman's wife, life and relationship. I respect that husband's relationship with his spouse. Do what Scripture says about the soul tie. Many things I've read about soul ties, and you can look up this term, you know, and it'll tell you many things. But in the end, you got to cut it loose. You have to sever it. It can't be, well, every now and then, I'll talk to them on the phone. Oh, we'll get on social media. No, that's not going to work. The only thing that works is I say, you go your way with God. And I'll go my way with God. And together we'll be whole people in the Lord. Do what the Scripture. Hey, look at the person next to you and tell them, do what the Scripture says. Hey, check this out, y'all. Early. I like the text of this. You know, he'd gone through all that. He'd gone through the change of thought with Sarah. He slept on it for one night because I'm assuming, you know, he's still there in the soul tie. But it says early. Early the next morning. I can't do this anymore. Do y'all hear me? I can't do this anymore. I can't be a part of this anymore. You see, I can't be a part of what's not godly anymore. How many of you have ever been there before? When you woke up early in the morning, or you were stirred by the Holy Spirit of God and said, today is the day. Today is the day that I am through. Today is the day that I'm going to start living my life for God. Not 90%, not 80%, not 99.5%. But 100% of myself I give to you, Lord. Abraham took some food and a skin of water, and he gave them to Hagar. This was the severance. Now, I know that this may not seem like a whole lot, And especially when you start talking about somebody you've spent 11, 12 years with, and then you got a son. But remember, God said, I will take care of them. You need to take care of this. He set them on her shoulders. You know, there's more to that than what he said. In other words, I'm giving you this severance, but it's on you now. You can't come back. There is no, I'll call you later. There is no, we'll meet up or hook up. This is it. It's over. And then he sent her off with the boy. And she went on her way, and she wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Now, if I didn't know all of the story or what came after this, I'd say, boy, things ended up pretty bad for Hagar. But the fact of the matter is, God said that she would be the mother of a son who was over his own nation. Ishmael is considered to be the father of what? Of Islam. Father of Islam. His name means wild donkey. He's the father of Islam. So he became that. And God did take care of them. Matter of fact, it says in Genesis 25, 9 and 10, and then I'll close. Abraham died. And Sarah had also died. And I want you to know that Sarah died before Abraham, and he remarried and had more children. So that wasn't the problem. The problem was the soul tie. God said, this is the way. This is the way I need for you to do it. His sons, check this out, y'all. His sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre, in the field of Ephraim, son of Zohar, the Hittite, the field Abraham had bought from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife and Sarah. Remember what I just said about God taking care of not only you, but God will take care of the other person too. What better place for Isaac and Ishmael to come together over Abraham and Sarah, as if to say, you know what? Let bygones be bygones. What came out of what we did or what our parents did, that's beyond us now. Let's put our father in the grave, because what? That's what God would want us to do. And he would want us to do that together. Have you ever been there before? Oh, I have seen many a funeral where the children were at odds with one another and they were fighting one another. And I was telling you, I would be so glad when that funeral was over so that we could move on. Why? Because they weren't together on the will of God. I believe that there's a lot of things can happen to you when you grow up. But when you're dead, people ought to say, look, let's bury the hatchet and let's move on in Jesus' name. Because God's got a plan for me and God's got a plan for you. Okay. That's all, folks. Breaking the chains. Oops. Toe up the 2 seconds there. Breaking the chains of soul tie. Soul tie is I'm in a relationship and it's not of God. What do I do? How do I break it? There we go. Thank you. Distress is a sign you're possibly in a soul tie. I mean, if you're never happy, if you never have any joy, it could be because you're in a relationship. And that relationship doesn't have to be physical. Sometimes it's mental. How many people get into a relationship with somebody who doesn't even exist? That's all pornography is. That's all that stuff is. Can I get a witness? And I'm saying to myself, I wish that my marriage was like this, or I wish I had this. You can. God promised you the best that He can give you if you just work with it. Can I get a witness? Distress is a sign you're possibly in the soul time. Number two, admit your part. You stepped in it. You took on your part of the relationship. And now, Lord, I need your help getting out. Number three, search what the scripture says about the soul tie. Shouldn't put things in my body. I shouldn't be around certain people. I cannot be around certain people, and especially if they're going to put chains on me. I've got to make that decision. I'm going to have boundaries. And in those boundaries, you can't come. Number two, trust that God, that God will deal righteously with the other party. God is not out to slay people. You know, even the worst person, God wants to save. God wants to save. God has a life for everybody. And I have to believe and trust Him that He will take care, just like He's taking care of me. Number five, do what Scripture says about the soul tie. I can't find any example in the Bible where God says, keep on sinning. Not one. Not one. Not one. Out of the many examples of sin, I can't find one where He says, keep going. It'll be all right. Why? Because that's not the God that we serve. But I hear Him saying, there's room at the cross for you. For you. For you and for me, if I repent. Breaking the chains of soul ties. I'm laying it down. That's what I'm going to do. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I won't let anything get in the way of my pure. I believe that I am meant to follow my God through Jesus Christ. I have been called by God to follow Jesus. Nothing else. Nothing else gets in the front of that. I'm going to ask our music ministers to come. Now you can give God a great big hand. But here is the question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because you can leave out and say, you know what? That's not my problem. And I don't know. I do know this, that God doesn't have a word either for somebody. Sometimes you need some help. Sometimes you need to get a mentor to walk with you, and that you're accountable to and they're accountable to you. But I am not going to stay in this. Because the joy of the Lord is my what? That's my strength. How many want this strength back? Stand on your feet. Wouldn't hurt to have a counselor or two up here. I believe somebody wants to lay it down for the joy of the Lord. I'm not going back to Egypt. Literally. I'm not going back. Won't you come? You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's where you begin. Lord, your will be done in my life. Not mine, but your will be done. Won't you come? Maybe you're a Christian, but for a long time now you've been stuck with the chains. And you don't have the joy, all you have is stress. Today is a good day. Say, Lord, I turn it over to you. I've made an idol out of my stuff. And that's a soul tie. Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. What about for your life?